Hi, I'm Gina Jordan, Morning Edition host at WFSU. Today we are speaking of senior scams. These are a problem everywhere, but today we'll hear stories about local people who were financially duped.
Right now, I talked to the other attorneys in my firm, and all of us have at least one person who is actively being scammed at this point.
That's Jana McConaughey of Waldock & McConaughey. She's a board-certified elder law attorney in Tallahassee.
The woman that I'm working with right now is in her 80s, maybe has a touch of memory issues, and so she's running all around every day trying to shut down accounts, not fully understanding what's happening. Recently widowed. I mean, it's just as vulnerable as you can get of a person whose life is being made into a total hell.
When it comes to seniors, McConaughey says beware of isolation and loneliness, and prior to a dementia diagnosis, a loss of skepticism that might otherwise protect you from being scammed.
It's just somebody who seems to be functioning perfectly well in society, but when they get that email from somebody saying, if you can send me $1,000 in gift cards, then we won't repossess your car, you know, and that doesn't make any sense. But when you've lost your sense of skepticism, it suddenly does. So there's a cognitive vulnerability.
Florida lawmakers are considering legislation that would make it easier to go after scammers via the online means by which they contacted their victims. Here's testimony from Gainesville elder law attorney Shannon Miller during a recent Senate committee hearing.
I had a venture capitalist client. He lost $10 million over 3 months. We have another lady who almost fell victim to a scam for Publishers Clearinghouse. They told her she'd won $25 million. All she needs to do is pay the taxes, the transfer taxes, right? So, you know, this is a problem. It's a $60 billion business in the United States. If we do this law in Florida, this will be the first of its kind.
Our reporter Margie Menzel is watching that legislation. Margie, welcome.
Hey, G.
We know that a lot of elderly victims have some form of dementia, and you spoke with a Tallahassee resident who went through the process of helping a friend in that situation.
Her friend is isolated and has perhaps the beginning of memory issues and was a little embarrassed about what was happening and didn't necessarily want to divulge it.
I am a healthcare and legal advocate for this person, so I was able to speak to her, but even then she wanted to hide it from me because she was a little bit unsure and maybe a little embarrassed that she might be involved in something over her head. So I'd say just approach it as you would approach the weather. Talk to somebody about what's going on and what you've heard is going on.
So, Gina, I'm sure you get attempted scams. I know I do all the time.
All the time.
And they're phishing, and maybe somebody who's older, who has the beginning of memory issues, who isn't as conversant with computer, social media, maybe it's easier to get them to bite.
And these people are so persuasive that you don't know that it's not a friendly approach. They really faked her out. And she is a smart, savvy, incredible human being.
That's just awful. And we should say that was Annie Gaynor speaking. So we know that there's only so much you can do once the money is handed to scammers via a gift card, for example. You caught an exchange between Davie Democratic Senator Barbara Sharif and the bill's sponsor, Fort Myers Republican Senator Jonathan Martin.
My mom was exploited via a Facebook messenger, and they had her give gift cards. Does this cover the gift cards? Because, you know, when the gift card is gone, and it's given through this contact on Facebook or wherever they're contacting them through, they say that there's no way to trace the money. Is this going to help with that in any way?
You recognize?
Thank you. This will help by, first of all, allowing any further transfer from the bank. So if the bank is getting a hit to purchase a bunch of gift cards,
right.
If there's a future hit, sometimes you can't do anything with what's already been taken, what's already been taking place, but the bank can start to see a pattern and say, wait a second, we're going to freeze this right here.
And so there are a couple of bills that are dealing with scams. One is where you were playing the exchange between Senator Sharif and Senator Martin. And there's a second by Senator Nick DeSigley that is cracking down on the fraudulent use of gift cards, which, as you heard and as we're finding, that's becoming very widespread too. And so Senator DeSigley's bill basically cracks down on the use of gift cards in a scam.
All of this proposed legislation, I understand, is doing pretty well in the legislature, it sounds like.
It sounds like. And the reaction that the sponsors are getting in committee is from colleagues who say, yeah, I know about this. It happened to somebody that I know.
It's happened to so many people. It's ridiculous.
Exactly.
So we're going to keep an eye on these bills. WFSU reporter Margie Menzel, thank you.
Thank you, Gina.
Now I'm joined by Twyla Sketchley, a board-certified elder law attorney with the Sketchley Law Firm in Tallahassee. The firm is an underwriter of WFSU Public Media. Twyla, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. And I'm interested to hear, you actually had something to do with the legislation that's being talked about now. Could you tell us how you were part of that?
Yes, so that's the Stop the Scammers bill. So a few years ago, there was a task force put together, and I and a few of the elder law attorneys in the state, we wrote with a collective of different areas of the law, an injunction to prevent the exploitation of a vulnerable adult. And what that injunction does is allow someone who's being exploited or someone assisting someone who's being exploited to go to court, and you can petition the court for an injunction that will freeze a person's accounts if they're being exploited. It will freeze the exploiter's accounts if we can show that the money is going into the exploiter's account. And it will also give the vulnerable adult or the elder exclusive use of their home if the exploiter is living with them. The Stop the Scammers portion that we are trying to get passed this year would allow the court to issue an order saying that the injunction, the temporary injunction, could be served on a scammer in the same way that that scammer has been scamming an elderly person. So if they've been reaching out through Facebook and it's a romance scam, you could serve that injunction through Facebook on that scammer. That would allow the banks to freeze the elder's account to prevent the wire transfers and things that are going to the pediatrician being held hostage by NATO in some foreign country. It's not true, but that's what they're led to believe, and so they keep sending money. The court would freeze it for 30 days to allow anybody who had a legitimate claim on the money to come and argue that they should get it, and then the court can return it to the elder. And so we are hoping that will get passed this year because it will do an immense amount of help for Florida's elders who are being scammed by online or text or Facebook or email scams. So
it sounds like banks, when they see something that is suspicious, they can kind of shut it down. But in this case, we're talking about the so-called Nigerian prince who is available only via Facebook Messenger, and now they have a little more teeth to do something.
Yes, and banks are the first line that usually sees these scams. And banks have some limited ability to stop these wire transfers for a temporary period of time. But if no one steps in with some legal teeth, they still have to wire the money to the Nigerian prince. And, you know, I've had clients who've lost $300,000 and $400,000 that way. By the time their kids figure it out and step in, their adult children, all the money is gone and you can't get it back.
So in this case, we're talking about vulnerable persons?
Yes.
Is there a definition of that in the bill?
Yes. Anybody who has impairment, cognitive or physical, that impairs their ability to do their daily activities. So it can be a 25-year-old person with a brain injury, or it can be a 90-year-old person with dementia.
Okay. So you deal with these senior scams all the time. What stands out to you about these kind of scams that you think people should know?
Well, the first thing that stands out to me is that it's not just seniors. Everybody can be scammed. I personally got sucked into a scam. I stopped it before there was any true damage, But even me, who I think I'm pretty astute at picking out these scams, somebody called me. They said they were a part of my mobile carrier, that there was a package sent to someplace in California I'd never heard of, and they needed to know where it should have gone or if I'd sent it. I said no. So then they said, it's fraud. What's your address? So I gave them my address. Then they asked me some information about my account. I'm thinking that my carrier has caught fraud on my account, and I started giving them information. And then the second question was asking for very personal financial information. And so at that point, I knew I'd now been on with a scammer for a good 5 minutes having a conversation about who I was. So I shut it down. I drove to my carrier. We ended up making some changes on my account so that nobody can change my account. I even have to give a special PIN number that I've now subsequently forgotten before I can make any changes. So it's not just an older person that can be scammed.
Your heart must have sunk.
My heart stopped. I was like, I am so stupid. How embarrassing is this? I can't believe that I fell for this. And that's the key. A lot of our senior victims of this, they're embarrassed. They don't want to tell their children, their neighbors, their pastors that they've been scammed. And so that prevents the reporting, and that leaves them even more vulnerable because they're not going to tell somebody, oh, I sent $10,000 to somebody thinking it was my grandson.
Yeah. There are so many scams going around, but I think just about everyone has gotten the SunPass toll text message, or you said even snail mail they're getting about this.
Well, actually, snail mail is the way that if you are getting a toll fine from the Florida toll system or a toll by plate bill, they're going to mail it to you. So if you're getting a text or an email or a phone call saying that they're from the toll violation, that's what they usually say, we're a toll violation. Well, Florida doesn't actually use that language, but then you know it's a scam because the state of Florida will mail you an official letter with an amount. There'll be usually a photograph of your license plate. So somebody texting you for a toll violation is not legitimate. And it may be only $2 or $3, and you may say, oh, well, you know, I only got scammed for $2 or $3. No, you didn't. You now have put your credit card or bank account number or something into their system that they can charge things on now.
Yes. Some other common ones include there's a warrant for your arrest. You have a traffic citation you didn't know about. Pine straw for a low, low price until you accept their offer and then suddenly it's something scary. Utility companies, storm repairs. All of these tend to be random contacts. So in your case with your phone, you were randomly contacted. You did
random.
Yes. Do you have some more cases that you have dealt with that you can just talk us through to give us an example?
Yes. The first thing that everybody needs to know is that unsolicited, and this is where I went wrong, I responded to a phone call that I got, and that should be your first warning. If somebody is making contact to you and offering you cheap pine straw or to fix your computer, or most law enforcement agencies are not going to call you and say there's a warrant for your arrest, you need to pay us X amount of dollars so we don't come and arrest you. Even if law enforcement does call you, you have to report to usually the jail to be booked and pay your bond. You don't get to pay somebody in a Green Dot card or a gift card to get out of a warrant. Your utility companies calling you and saying that your utilities are off, yes, they will. But guess what? You'll have to bring them money. You cannot pay utility companies in Green Dot cards and gift cards. So if it's an unsolicited contact, first of all, that's probably a scam. Second of all, if they're asking you to pay via a Green Dot card or a gift card, 100% of the time, that's a scam. If they're asking you to go to the bank and wire money, but not tell anybody why you're wiring it, that's a scam. We unfortunately see a lot of elderly people who have cognitive impairments, you know, maybe a stroke, maybe dementia. that are scammed because they can't really tell the difference between a truth and a lie. We had one elderly person who believed that they were marrying a Nigerian pediatrician being held in a jail in Finland by the UN, and this elderly person was told they had to keep sending money to pay essentially a bail to get $10 million and this Nigerian pediatrician out. As the scam continued, because that person had dementia, they started sending that person fraudulent credit cards and fraudulent cashier's checks. So she would deposit the cashier's check, pull out the money, and send cash in a FedEx envelope to, you know, like a mailboxes, etc., or UPS drop system in California or Arizona or places like that. The credit cards, she would go and she would buy gift cards, Green Dot cards, and put them in a FedEx box and send them. In that case, law enforcement was actually going to arrest that person until they figured out that the person had dementia and her family had to get a guardianship over her.
And this probably went on for how long? I mean, months.
It went on for about 10 to 12 months before it was discovered by her family. And it was probably only discovered by her family because family members were at her house the day law enforcement showed up to arrest her.
Wow. Did she actually marry this person?
No. At one point, she thought she got married via text. The scammers had actually texted her and emailed her a picture of this alleged person. And when you did the Google picture, you know, you can put a picture in Google and see where it is. It's a very common picture. It's a stock photograph that appears in all kinds of commercials and everything. But there are scams that target people who are perfectly competent. There is a movie called Thelma. It's about an elderly woman who gets targeted by a grandparent scam and her revenge on the scammers. The main character is perfectly competent. Yes, she's in her 90s, but just because you're old by everybody's standards doesn't mean you're incompetent. And in that movie, you see a lot of the same things that happen in families of elderly people that scare them into not wanting to report that they've been scammed, because we automatically jump to the conclusion that this person is no longer competent and we need to put them in a safe place.
Yeah.
There's some very simple things that we don't do when we panic. And I'm a grandmother. If my grandchildren call me and say they need help, I'm going to help them.
Yep.
And so the first thing you should do is hang up and call the person they say they are. So in a grandparent scam, oftentimes they don't even know the names of your grandchildren. So they'll say, "Grandma, I need help." And what's the first thing you do? "Oh, so-and-so, is that you?" Well, now they have your grandchild's name. If you just hung up and you just called your grandchildren's parents or even your grandchild and said, "Hey, what's up?" You probably find out there's nothing wrong and they're not in some Bolivian jail and need money or, you know, arrested for a DUI because they hit a pregnant woman or any of that. And some of these law enforcement scams are pretty sophisticated. They will use the name of an officer that they find on the internet. Mm-hmm. And so if they say, "I'm Officer so-and-so from the Leon County Sheriff's Office," hang up and call the Leon County Sheriff's Office and say, "I need to speak to Officer so-and-so. He just called my phone and wants a Green Dot card." Leon County Sheriff's Office is probably going to talk you through that this is a scam. We panic and we don't think these things through.
Yeah. The whole verification thing, the whole threat thing, like with the grandparent scam, "I can get your grandson out of jail, but I need the money and you can't tell anybody."
And that's part of the panic. And anytime somebody calls you and says, "Don't tell anybody," you know, when we are teaching children about stranger danger, one of the things we teach our children is if somebody says, "I'm going to do this thing or say this thing, but you can't tell anybody," we teach our children that that's a bad thing, right? Well, the same thing applies when you're an adult. If it is, oh, I can help your grandson, but you need to send me this money and you can't tell anybody that you're doing this, well, that's a scam. It's the same stranger danger.
What's the most difficult thing for you in dealing with a senior citizen who's been exploited like this?
Oh, gosh. Well, unfortunately, when a senior citizen is exploited, they're more likely to die more quickly. Those of us who deal with this, we call these fatal events. They might not die tomorrow, but they die within a few months or a couple of years because the stress level is so significant. The other side is if the person is competent and capable, watching them come to the realization that they have lost what is oftentimes a huge part of their nest egg. Because remember, these are people who have limited income. They're not working. They can't work. So if they get scammed out of $10 or $20 or $50 or $400,000, they don't have any money to replace that. So how are they going to pay for their care? The other part, if the person lacks capacity or has some cognitive difficulties, you can't reason with them. They don't understand they got scammed.
That's sad.
For a society, what we forget is when we allow these scams to continue, guess who pays for the care of someone who needs to be now in a nursing home? We as a society do. We do it through Medicaid costs. We do it through increased need for supervision. Sometimes families go bankrupt paying for care for mom. And at the end of the day, if we could just stop these scammers and freeze this money. I mean, I've been involved in cases where, you know, the scammer isn't somebody in a foreign country. The scammer is a neighbor and has stolen money. And we don't put them in jail because our elderly person has dementia, so they don't make a good witness. I've had prosecutors tell me that. When we don't stop these, we are increasing the fatalities of our elders, and we are increasing the financial burden on our communities and our families.
Attorney Twyla Sketchley with the Sketchley Law Firm. Twyla, this has been amazing. This has been eye-opening. Thank you so much for all of this information.
My pleasure.